Well, the song we just sang, Canticle of the Turning, is one of my very favorites. I've loved it for a long time. And yet, as I was working on the sermon this week and reflecting on the texts and looking at the world around me, I found it a hard song to sing. The world is about to turn. But which direction? As I participated in an immigration briefing with the Episcopal Office of Government Relations and all the clergy of the diocese on Tuesday, as we listened this week to the words of a very influential billionaire about homelessness and his attitudes about it, I should say, more like trillionaire. Which direction? When we look at the world around us, how can we sing about God's promises? Today in the Gospel, we read about Mary's visit to Elizabeth. You know, Mary ran straight to visit her relative Elizabeth immediately after her conversation with the angel, where the angel told her that she was going to be the bearer of the Messiah. I've been reflecting on that, on what Mary did, on her response to those words. You know, nothing had changed for her yet. There were probably no signs in her body that she was pregnant. Certainly no visible changes. And yet, she ran in faith, in trust, in hope to visit her relative. And Elizabeth, on seeing this woman in whom there had been no apparent change, said, "How is it that the mother of my Lord comes to me?" She speaks a word of prophecy, of hope, of confidence in God's action, even when there's nothing to be seen. And she greets this woman who had believed God's promise with the words, "Blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." And in response, Mary bursts out into this exultant song of praise to God the Savior. Now, if you look around the world that Mary was living in when she sang these words, Caesar was on the throne in Rome. A brutal Herod ruled Galilee. Herod, who would go on to behead the child that Elizabeth was pregnant with. The Roman governor Pilate controlled the captive city of Jerusalem. And in the midst of this reality, Mary sings, "God has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty." What trust in God's promises. Two women, both pregnant with babies who will change the world. And yet, at this moment, it seems that nothing has changed. Some of you may remember the name Jaya. Jaya was on our prayer list for over a year. Our prayers of the people. Jaya is a girl that I knew as a child. Her family, the Fevers, Kyle and Laura and their kids. Kyle was a colleague of ours for a time at Wartburg, and their whole family were parishioners at our church in Waverly. Well, 2 years ago, Jaya was she was a senior in high school, and she was in a solo car accident on an icy road outside of Des Moines. She suffered multiple broken bones, traumatic internal injuries, but most of all, a devastating traumatic brain injury. After the initial brain scan, her family was told that she had suffered a level of brain damage so severe that most do not survive it. She was in a deep coma and apparently not responding to anything. After many desperate days of waiting, her father, Kyle, talked to the neurologist who was working with them, who was a specialist in TBIs. And he said to this neurologist, "Will she ever wake up? Will she ever wake up?" And the neurologist said, "I don't know how long it will be. I don't know what condition she will be in when she does. But yes, she will wake up." And Kyle said, "That promise changed everything. It changed everything for the family. She will wake up." The family clung to that promise through months of waiting. It sustained them in their daily choices and actions. They talked with Jaya, even though she didn't respond. They stroked her face. They held her hand. They sang to her, believing that somewhere in that unresponsive body was their beloved child. And after months of waiting, Jaya woke up. She was deeply damaged. First, she was unable to talk or do more than occasionally blink. They thought it was in response. She could barely move. But little by little by little, with months of work and therapy, she made progress. At first, she communicated by very painfully and painstakingly pointing at letters on a signboard. And then she was able to use her hands to select letters. And then she was able to sing. And then she talked. And then she got out of bed. And then she walked. Late this spring, she graduated from high school. And now, just over 2 years later, she can walk and talk and sing and paint and live at home with her family. There is still so much that they do not know. Her personality has changed. She is deeply different. And yet, their beloved daughter is alive. She woke up, and she's still making progress. And what she will be able to do, they don't know. But hope and promise changed everything for that family. A Lebanese Christian named Talar Haidastian has lived all her life in Lebanon in the middle of conflict. And I read this week her reflections on her experience. She said that when she was a six-year-old child, she was one of 20 in the country who was invited to draw an image of peace that would be shared with the people throughout the country. and she drew an image of a warship that launched flowers and balloons. She said, 20 years later, there is still war in her country and throughout her region. But she reflected on the on what it means to have hope in the middle of this. She said, light finds its life and purpose in darkness. Courage is achieved through grace for others, a grace which sustains us in faith. She reflected on the grace and courage that she sees around her daily. She said, those in need who still open their doors to the desperate and the displaced. University students who cook and distribute food for hundreds. Groups of teenagers who entertain refugee children. Red Cross volunteers who transport injured people to hospitals. All around her, she sees hope and grace and courage wherever people choose good when everything around seems evil. My friends, this is our call. This is our call. Like Mary, we wait for the coming of the Christ, even as we already bear Christ within us. It may seem that nothing has changed, and yet everything has changed. We are called to hope in God, to believe in God's promise, to believe that the word that has been spoken to us will be fulfilled. Like Mary and Elizabeth, we are called to prepare for the promised world, to make ready for the coming Messiah, to find strength in community as they did, to go for mutual support to others who believe, to work together with them, to live into God's dream for the world. Because hope is not just a feeling. Hope is committed action. It is grounded in God's promise. Yes, the world is about to turn, and we are part of that turning. It is our call to believe God's promises and act on them. May it indeed be so.